The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good morning and welcome.
Morning to you, Oscar.
Good morning.
I'm going to listen. You know, when you hear about things like the ICC and all these bodies, and you think about respect in the political space, you tend to wonder if, you know, this is a tough one for me to really come about. If Rubio and they don't want to be part of the ICC, that shouldn't be a congressional approval. Or you could just not shut down a court. Now, I would think that Donald Trump, up with an armada, invade a country, move the leader, kill people to get him. Isn't that warrants an investigation? So I'm not aligned to the court. Then who are you in the world? However, you're in my country and you see something wrong, you grab me and you bring me in the U.S. because you have to face the U.S. court. That is not a balance for me. And not only that, they have allies dealing with that. All the importance for us to really keep away from policies under, not so much the U.S., under Donald Trump. But as my mother said, this too shall pass. I would wait until Donald Trump leaves office through the system, and then hopefully when America regains its pugnant way of governance, then we would really, really have a conversation on what's taking place in the world regarding the ICC. As far as Trinidad is concerned, I want to tell Mr. Saad Bisesa, take it down. It makes no sense following Donald Trump way, because he's a displaced leader right now with respect to how the world is going. Take Greenland, take this. That is a leader that you want to manage. So collective responsibility for us here in the region is what we're supposed to go ahead with, and that is under the umbrella of CARICOM. So I would urge Prasad Bisesa to, you know, sort of stay low out of the focus of Trump and they, because Tusker is not comfortable right now in the world as to how things are going with conversation with the current U.S. Leadership, and even ours here, that we are totally displaced with your foreign policy aspect and geopolitical relationship. So to me, leave the ICC alone. And not only that, I find they should expound on it and give it more leverage in relation to people who commit crime against humanity and just getting away with it. That's all I'll say for now.
Thank you so much for your contribution. And I think the focus has been placed on the ICC, especially with the conflict in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, the coming and going of attacks on Lebanon by the Israelis, and the repercussions of that in terms of lack of humanitarian aid, lack of accountability, meaning let me put it this way, there would be treaties, there would be discussions, and there would be ceasefires. And then from that, either one or both parties break the ceasefire. And within breaking a ceasefire, there are terms and conditions that have been ignored, which could go before the ICC. Remember the role of the ICC. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning, welcome.
Prosper.
Good morning.
Good morning. One of the major factors that comes in that move to dismantle ICC is the Israeli leader. Right now, the ICC has a warrant out for his arrest for war crimes. You understand? And you know who is he? Good colleague. Who he ride or die, Bodo. We all know who that is. That is one. Two, as for our government support, if we will support that or not,
Well, you can't really say that. I mean, it may appear so, as Rowley Jr. did comment, the trend so far in this current administration is to support the movements or policies or suggestions of the United States administration. However, it does not mean this particular one may be followed by our administration, the government. This is why the request for clarification on the stance of the government is required. Requested is the better word in understanding the position of Trinidad and Tobago. It, however, has been asked because in terms of the geopolitics and the positioning of Trinidad and Tobago in on the global scale, knowing that answer does affect how other countries would relate or not relate with us. So we have to understand the diplomacy or the diplomatic part of it as well. Just to give some clarification on the statement made by the last caller, according to the information here, on the 21st of November 2024, following an investigation of war crimes and crimes against humanity, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for two senior Israeli officials, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Yoav Gallant, the former Minister of Defense of Israel, alleging responsibility for the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare and the crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts during the Gaza War. The warrant against Netanyahu is the first against the leader of a Western-backed democratic country for war crimes. So according to the information here, there are warrants issued by the ICC. Unfortunately, it does not say if the warrants have been executed, if they will stand trial, and if the or the dates of any prosecution or movement to trial after that. All 125 ICC member states, including France and the United Kingdom, are required to arrest Netanyahu, pardon me, and Gallant if they enter the state's territory. The ICC also issued an arrest warrant for Hamas military commander Mohammed Deif, who was killed in an Israeli airstrike on July 13th, 2024, but whose death remained unconfirmed at the time. By January 2025, Hamas confirmed Deif's death, and a few weeks later, the ICC cancelled the arrest warrant against him. So just for balance, just to show that there are comments according to this document, that there are other warrants of arrest for other leaders around the world. So, because you know they're quick to say bias, right? So just forming back to the point of understanding the role of the ICC, what legal parameters they do have, and the conversation if Trinidad and Tobago should make comment or what their stance should be or should not be in terms of this. 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Tesca.
Good morning, Port of Spain. Would love
morning
to hear your opinion on this.
Especially happy day to you. So, the ICC business, I think we should leave that alone. We should leave that alone.
Well, we are a member state of the ICC, so we expected to at least make a decision or a contribution as to what
America wants to do. We should lie
as an ICC state, Port of Spain, they are required to make a decision.
Well, you just don't make no decision, that's all.
Well, then we may not be part of the ICC after that.
Yeah. Why? So take a vote of abstention. What does that mean? What I'm saying is the ICC, right? I support the ICC, mm-hmm. of course. Yeah. But leave this one alone. United States has a right not to be a member of the ICC. The United States has global responsibilities to protect and defend and advocate democracy, right? Mm-hmm. So the UNC, why is USA making this a problem? Let them deal with it. Let the USA deal with that.
All right, so let me reiterate the goal of, or the suggested goal of the State Secretary of State, Mark Rubio. He says to dismantle the ICC, which means to basically shut it down. Do you agree with what's happening in Ukraine?
No.
Do you agree with what happens in Syria?
No.
Lebanon? If it is that there are persons, Port of Spain, let me finish ask you the question. If it is that it is expected, if it is that it has been determined that there are war crimes in these countries, which court should they go to?
Well, wants to commit a war crime, the ICC will determine that.
All right, so if the U.S. is successful in its manner to dismantle, quote-unquote, using his word, the ICC, what structure would be existing for these persons to face their crimes?
The ICC is not going to be dismantled. I guarantee you that.
So therefore, what is the purpose of those statements then?
Yeah, Trump. He wants to own Greenland. Now he comes back and he gets some pushback. He wants to not own Greenland, but exert some kind of control over Greenland. So you see, right, the ICC is here to status quo. Let America do what they want to do, but they will not be successful. Let us leave that ICC alone. Let America do their thing, but they will fail. The ICC shall continue to exist. Thank you, Port of Spain.
Thank you so much, Port of Spain. 625-2257-627-3223 is the number. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. 625-2257-627-3223. Let's head to the message board at 3061065. Good morning, Miss Martinez. How are you doing today? I hope you're ready as ever for Spain versus France. Lock horns today. Maybe you are on the edge and will be absolutely shaken by the high stakes and breathless with anticipation for the match that promises to have you in a roller coaster. I pray for your team. I pray for them too. Oh, dear. 625-2257-627-3223 is the number. Good morning. The only reason the current U.S. administration wants to eliminate the ICC is to avoid accountability. When the Trump administration loses majority, they will face many charges by the U.S. Democrats and other countries that were negatively affected. Now, once again, I will say that the ICC does not have jurisdiction in member states' judicial systems. So if it is that they're talking about facing charges in the American space, that's one. But if it is determined that within these conflicts that the U.S. has currently found itself in, whatever the manner of how they got themselves in it in the first place, if war crimes are detected, the ICC is the body that handles that determination as to if a crime was committed. There are outlines as to what crimes or jurisdictions that they have. I'll go on to the structure and functions. The ICC is tasked with determining if genocide was committed, crimes against humanity was committed, war crimes, crimes of aggression. As you know, that there is a almost like a list of rules by the United Nations as it pertains to rules of engagement. That's the term that is given when entering into war time or war crime spaces. So if it is found that these countries have committed these crimes, then they are to appear before the ICC. The structure and functions of the ICC. The ICC composed of four main organs. Presidency oversees administration and represents the courts externally. Chambers include pre-trial, trial, and appeal chambers with judges who ensure fair trials, decide on admissibility, and issue judgments. Office of the Prosecutor investigates alleged crimes, initiates prosecutions, and litigates cases before the chambers. Registry provides administrative, operational, and logistical support, including defense, victim support, and security. So those are the roles, or some of them, of the ICC. It's almost like they're Switzerland of the judicial world, where they are to remain neutral when determining the particular offenses laid before them. And I noted that this morning, trying to recall his name, but the caller who first called in and talked about the ICC and the approach that the U.S. Secretary of State has decided to approach the ICC or the issue of the ICC, mentioned our former Prime Minister, the late A&R Robinson, being very key in being one of the founders of the ICC. And it was notable to mention that. And as to his point to, yes, acknowledge that work of being one of the founding members, I think more to understand the role of the ICC and what role they have played in many of the conflicts in the past. And like I said, I will get to that example in the next hour and how that was dealt with. If that does not exist, where do victims of these crimes go to not only seek justice, but to receive it? So if not that establishment, where do they go? Impact on notable cases. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. 20 to the hour of 10. Let's quickly take in another call. 625-2257, 627-3223. Another message here coming in. All right. As the conversation is so intense, we've got the book club. My goodness, I do apologize. Let's get into that conversation as well. Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning, Dr. Henry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi,
good
morning. How are you? I do apologize. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. I know it's a little late. As the topic has been quite an intense one in TNT, as the talk of Marco Rubio stepping in to dismantle the ICC. But let's talk about your book, Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Let's get a brief, who are you and why did you start writing?
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I am, Dr. Delia Harry-Nero, originally from, I would say, one of the best places in Trinidad and Tobago. That's Cumana, Toco, countryside, country girl.
Nice.
I am a Christian counseling psychologist with my own private practice here in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And why did I get into writing? This started with a group that I was responsible for in terms of doing devotionals. It was a prayer group. And one of the ladies suggested, she said, why don't you turn these devotionals into a book? And, you know, when you're doing devotionals, it's one page per day. Mm-hmm. And it started like that. And then the one page is turned into something deeper. And then I realized I had a full manuscript going. So that is really how it started.
And the purpose of the book, as you said, is to give guidance or Christian counseling to the idea of marriage. Now, from understanding how persons prepare for the life of marriage, there is a period of counseling before entering into the married life.
Yes.
What kind of steps do they take within? Do you give that in your book as well? What does that look like? What kind of questions do you ask?
So within the book, the core message of the book is establishing the difference between your role as a husband and a wife and mm-hmm. your responsibilities. So persons tend to, I've seen it before with couples that have sat before me, they tend to confuse what their role is. So the book establishes that your role is who God created you to be as a husband or a wife. It is that God-given identity, your spiritual position, your essence then.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed since then. Your responsibility, however, that's the practical daily task of how you express that particular role. And that can be adapted from back then to, well, modern life now. So for example, I was thinking, so take the role of the man or the husband, for example. That's the priest, the provider, the protector. We've heard this before, all right? And, of course, you know, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That role of loving, leading, sacrificing, and covering, that has never changed.
Mm-hmm.
But how he fulfills that role, it looks very different today than, of course, it would have looked like in biblical times.
Also the role of provider, protector, those are included as well. Now, I was going to ask the question that the idea of traditional wife, traditional husband has changed a lot over the years. especially as, you know, we're stepping into modern times, a lot of quote-unquote conveniences that have come into to life. How does the roles that you are accustomed to, or for want of a better term, the understanding of the Christian life, how do those roles still exist to match or to complement, I should say, the modern times of what traditional look like?
All right, so I'll give you an example. So back then, it was, you know, physical, farming the land, hunting mm-hmm. for food, those things, building the family home with your own hands. Today, we have both parties working, corporate jobs, office jobs, different things. So for example, in terms of being a provider, we have men that might work from home or men that are stay-at-home dad. But that role of being provider, protector, it does not change. Being a provider just means he might support his wife's career, ensuring that she is comfortable, she's relaxed, she's rested when she comes home, and she's able to go to work to provide that financial aspect. He might do the school runs, he might be cooking the dinner, but the critical point is, even if she earns or alone or she's earning more than him, he is still the one responsible, especially before God, for ensuring that his family is provided for. Mm-hmm. So providing would look different. Just supporting her is his way of providing. He still carries that spiritual and emotional weight of the provision. His role hasn't changed. It's just the expression of it.
Of the role.
Changed.
Okay. Yes. Because I know that you, in the beginning too, you wanted to define what a role looks like as opposed to what's the other word you used?
Responsibility.
Right? Now, the trend or I think the word trend fits here, to hold responsibility as maybe a little more important than the role tends to cause more conflict, because you can actually hold people quote-unquote responsible in modern times now via the courts and child support, and it gets pretty messy when it comes to that. How can we establish still holding on to responsibility, but also accepting that roles may change depending on circumstances?
That is just for each marriage, it's different. You as a couple have to know what works best for your family. So, of course, first knowing what your role is. So like I said before, the man, he's that provider, that protector, that priest. Mm-hmm. The woman, she's the nurturer, the helper, she's the responder. And a lot of persons within the Christian community, you know, they refer to that Proverbs 20:31 woman. And she was an extraordinary woman, but she worked. She ran businesses. She managed employees. If persons would read Proverbs 31 mm-hmm. properly, they would realize that she was someone that had her own businesses going, was getting her own money, etc. But that didn't stop her role of being
the wife,
husband's helper,
yes,
nurturer, responder. It didn't stop it. So it's just in terms of working with what works best for your family. Mm-hmm. So once you establish that this is my role, it doesn't change. My responsibilities do change. You now have to have that conversation. How do I, within my role, do or provide or do these responsibilities without it changing the role of who I am as a husband or who I am as a wife.
Mm-hmm. Have you, within your counseling sessions, realized that at some point in time there may be roles that are reversed or interchangeable? And what space is allowed for that?
In terms of this specifically, the roles aren't interchangeable. The responsibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, the woman will still be that.
I'm sorry,
helper.
I meant responsibilities rather than roles. Yes,
that's the problem.
You see how easy it is?
And
it has come so commonplace now to mesh the two.
Yes.
And I think that comes from the separation, in that there are many persons who are doing it on their own. And still providing families. But
But the responsibilities, that is what has changed. Mm-hmm. So again, times have changed. So you would have, you know, back then, most times it would have been the husband working, the wife is at home seeing about the family. Now, both parents are working, they share the responsibilities of the household. So it's not just one person doing the cooking, the cleaning, the taking care of the kids. Both parents share that responsibility. But that does not negate what your role is as a husband or wife. Your responsibility could change. The way that you do it can change. That's always adaptable. But your role remains the same. You just have to know how to work your responsibilities within that role without that role changing.
And added responsibilities, meaning that for whatever reason, because life be lifing, as they say,
life,
right?
Yes.
You find yourself taking up other responsibilities that may have been, if not attended to properly, forgotten. There's probably somebody got sick, you know, and you have to take up those other responsibilities. How important it is to have that conversation, acknowledging that these, I don't want to use the word shortfalls, but, you know, there is a disparity, and to say, well, all right, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that. That doesn't mean that you don't catch up and try and, you know,
yes,
run the, or yes, come on when you can. How can you have that conversation without creating resentment for taking up those responsibilities?
Oh, openly and honestly. You must be open and you must be honest. A lot of times why resentment happens is because persons tend to hold back what they really want to say because they're trying to spare the other person's feelings.
Feelings, yeah.
But then resentment builds within you because you also have unexpressed expectations. You're not telling this person what you're expecting. You never expressed it. And then you're expecting this person to do something that you never told them.
Mm-hmm. Telepathy don't work. We don't have
it
that.
It doesn't work.
We don't have that ability.
No. So you really need to have an open, honest conversation. And part of that is knowing exactly what you want, what you expect. And if your partner can't provide that, you have to be able to adjust possibly in terms of how that expectation could be provided for you. Because you mightn't get it 100% exactly how you want it all the time, but they may be able to provide that expectation in a different manner.
And is it important to define what type of marriage what is marriage so that you can understand how the responsibilities and roles go?
Yes, most definitely. And the definition of marriage, I would say for most people, it's different. I might say that marriage is, you know, butterflies and rainbows and Skittles. And for somebody else, their definition of marriage is something totally different. It depends on what your definition of marriage is and also, again, your expectations, what you're expecting from this person. Because marriage is supposedly for life. You're going to live your life with this person. So you need to have that conversation in terms of what do I expect walking into this? What do I expect from my husband? What do I expect from my wife? This is how I want our marriage to work.
Mm-hmm. Here's another part that, especially as you talk about men and women relationships, the word submission is a very ticklish, you see, you say, ooh, you know, it's a very ticklish word, especially when it comes to the identity of women, identity of men. It can easily step into a space where domination enters the conversation. What is the definition of submission and how does it apply to marriage?
Has a section dedicated to that because this is an issue, especially like you said, for women, they struggle with it. Mm-hmm. So submission has been so badly misused and misrepresented over the years. And in doing this book, I learned that the Greek word for submission is, I really can't pronounce it, I always bite my tongue, but I believe is hypotasso. And it's actually a military term meaning voluntarily positioning yourself under authority. The key word is voluntarily. It is not forced. It is not blind obedience. It is not erasing your personality or your intelligence. This is a woman choosing to honor her husband's God-given leadership. And this is what most people miss. that very verse in the Bible before, you know, before wives are told to submit to their husbands, the verse actually starts off by saying submit to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to skip that part out. They go straight to wives submit to your husband and they stop there.
Mm-hmm.
This, it starts off by telling you submit to one another. It also tells husband before all of that, that you have to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So if you are not doing all of this, you can't get that submission. It's going to be forced. It's not going to be voluntary. And of course, persons will feel as though they are losing their identity, their personality, their intelligence with it. Mutual submission is the foundation. Both of you must serve. Both of you must give. Both of you must compromise. And of course, it just looks different for each couple.
The idea of submission as well in the modern world, especially as social media and so on, it tends to or leads to the conversation of abuse or domination.
Yeah.
Is it, and the conversation is dominated by men in that respect, where it's almost expected for any woman to submit, and the ideas of what that submission looks like seems to be very skewed.
Yes.
How can we guide men listening today as to what submission really is, and that level of expectation, how to define or tell them, you know, curb your enthusiasm, I guess.
Submission today, I say to men, it's not that women today, the independent and quote women today, can't submit. It's about her feeling comfortable enough that you can lead. This person has to trust you with their life. Trust you to make decisions that would benefit you both. Trust you to make decisions that will keep you both safe. Trust you to make decisions that would inspire, increase your finances. You're making decisions, and this person has to trust that when you make that decision, that it's going to be beneficial to both parties. And if a woman is not at a space where she feels safe, where she feels that she can trust you to lead her life, as some of us say, where we could turn our brain off and leave you to do the thinking. If I can't trust that when I leave you to do the thinking, everything would be 100% okay. And even if something goes wrong, I could trust you to make decisions that we could fix this, then it's harder. And that's because men don't know, for want of a better a way of saying this, they don't know how to be men. That provider, that protector, that priest, that leader, it's not ingrained in our men today. They just want women to follow them blindly, but they don't know how to lead. They don't know how to make decisions, educated decisions. Everything is just do as I say. There is no discussion about anything. There is no making her feel safe, making her feel comfortable enough to trust that when you make this decision, it's beneficial to us both. And that is something that men today, we need to teach them. I'm not sure how to get them to learn that. That it's not just about, oh, well, I am the man, so she has to do what I say. You have to be able to show her that she can trust you. You have to be able to show her that she is safe with you. And she would operate in the sphere of being, you know, your helper, your nurturer, very comfortably. She would submit to what you have going on, because at the end of the day, when you do certain things, she can say, yes, this was beneficial to us both. I trusted him, and this is how he handled it. That must be the key there, that safety and that trust. And if it's not there, they will have a hard time getting it to happen.
Now, here's another perspective as well. The reverse, not necessarily that the woman is leading. However, there would come times where, because of the way the women think, you know, we would have like a safety plan just in case that would be beneficial to the marriage, beneficial to the relationship. And if by chance that backup plan seems to be a little more stable than the original one, the how to put it, the upset that the husband feels. How do you navigate through that, or at least recognize, or have him recognize that the, should I use the word anger? Surprise that comes with, yeah, I had your back all the time kind of scenario. How do they navigate through that?
It's about putting aside self, putting aside ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you say that the ways that you have in the book, or guidance that you have in the book, can apply to other people as well?
Yes, I do believe that. I believe it can apply straight across the board. There are certain things within religious circles that we all believe. And it's something, this particularly in terms of the role of a husband and a wife, is something that we all see as one. And I think that it would be able to reach persons from different religious cultures, give advice, and apply, of course, where applicable in your life.
And finally, where can persons get in touch with you to get a copy of your book, or are you in bookstores already? Yeah, how do they get a copy?
So locally, you can reach out to me at 318-5564. That's 318-5564. That's locally to get your copy of the book. And the book is also available on Amazon in both paperback. And if you're not into the paperback, it's available on Kindle as well.
And one more question before we go. Do you have plans to write another book?
That thought has been thrown around a lot. Persons are asking, well, those who already have it, they're asking, well, when is the next book coming out? And this one took me about 3 years. So I say, give me 3 years again and I might have another one for you.
Well, I do appreciate you taking the time. And I know it was a little late this morning, but this topic as well is very important to discuss, especially at a time where a lot is uncertain in the world at the moment. I do appreciate you coming in, Dr. Dania Henry. Sorry, Harry Nero, psychologist, doctor of science in psychology. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we hope
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, when you have that new book.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you so much again for having me.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.